The House will come to order. The Chair recognizes the Sergeant at Arms.
Mr. Speaker, the House Committee has returned and is ready to report.
The Chair recognizes the lady from Webster, Representative Meyer.
Mr. Speaker, the committee to notify the Senate that the House is ready to receive it in joint convention has completed its duty.
Thank you. The report is received and the committee is discharged. The Chair recognizes the Sergeant at Arms.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the Senate, the Secretary of the Senate, and the honorable members of the Senate have arrived in the House chamber.
You will escort the President of the Senate to the Speaker's station, the Secretary of the Senate to the Chief Clerk's station, and the Senators will be seated amongst their respective representatives.
The joint convention will be in order. The chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that the roll call be dispensed with and that the president be authorized to declare a quorum present.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer. Those in favor say yay.
Yay!
Those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The chair declares a quorum present and the joint convention duly organized. The chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that a committee of six, three members from the Senate and three members from the House, be appointed to escort Lieutenant Governor Adam Gregg to the House chamber.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer. All those in favor say yay.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion prevails, and the chair announces the appointment of the senator from Marshall, Senator Edler, the senator from Des Moines, Senator Green, and the senator from Johnson, Senator Walls. On the part of the Senate, the representative from Dallas, Representative Hagenow, the representative from Mahaska, Representative Brink, and the representative from Polk, Representative Derry, on the part of the House. Will the committee retire and perform its duty? The chair recognizes the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that a committee of six, three members from the Senate and three members from the House, be appointed to notify Acting Chief Justice Wiggins that the Joint Convention is ready to receive him.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Polk, Senator Whitfer. All those in favor say yay.
Yay!
Those opposed say no. The motion prevails, and the chair announces the appointment of the senator from Woodbury, Senator Carlin, the senator from Dickinson, Senator Whiting, the senator from Lynn, Senator Hogue, on the part of the Senate, the representative from Mahaska, Representative Height, the representative from Polk, Representative Losey, and the representative from Story, Representative Wilburn, on the part of the House. Will the committee retire and perform its duty? The chair recognizes the Sergeant at Arms.
Mr. President, the Executive Council and Attorney General have arrived in the House chamber.
Please escort the members of the Executive Council and the Attorney General to their seats. Chair recognizes the Sergeant at Arms.
Mr. President, the justices of the Supreme Court, the Chief Judge and judges of the Court of Appeals, and the Chief Judges of the District Courts have arrived in the House chamber.
Please escort the justices of the Supreme Court, the Chief Judge and judges of the Court of Appeals, and the Chief Judges of the District Courts to their seats. Chamber will be at ease while we await the arrival of the family of the acting Chief Justice. I will. The chair recognizes the sergeant at arms.
Mr. President, the family of the acting Chief Justice have arrived in the House chamber.
Please escort the acting Chief Justice's family to their seats. The chair recognizes the sergeant at arms.
Mr. President, your committee to escort Lieutenant Governor Adam Gregg has arrived.
The committee will escort the Honorable Adam Gregg to his seat. The chair recognizes the sergeant at arms.
Mr. President, your committee to notify and escort Acting Chief Justice David Wiggins has arrived.
The committee will escort the Honorable David Wiggins, Acting Chief Justice of the Iowa Supreme Court, to the rostrum. It is my pleasure to introduce to you the Acting Chief Justice of the Iowa Supreme Court, David Wiggins, to deliver the State of the Judiciary message.
Thank you. Yep. Microphone is on.
Thank you. Please be seated. It's like court, you know, sit down. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, distinguished members of the Iowa General Assembly, Lieutenant Governor Gregg, state officials, colleagues, family, friends, and everyone who joins us this morning to hear the condition of Iowa's judicial system. First, I want to thank you for inviting me to deliver this address. It has been a year of passage and transition since the last condition of the judiciary. Three of our retired justices have passed. The court will miss former Chief Justice Arthur McGivern, Justice Darrell Hecht, and Justice Bruce Snell Jr. These fine judges were models of dignity and service. We have also welcomed our newest justice to the court, Justice Christopher McDonald, as Justice Heck's successor. We also lost Chief Justice Mark Cady, who passed away suddenly last November. His death sent shockwaves not only through the judicial branch, but also throughout the state and the nation. Chief Justice Cady was an outstanding legal scholar, a thoughtful colleague, a good friend, and a strong leader. Under Chief Justice Cady's leadership, and with your support, the Iowa judicial system has become one of the best in the nation. His leadership brought our justice system to where we are today and provides us with a clear vision of where we need to go in the future in order to achieve his goal to be the best judicial system in the nation. Prior to his death, Chief Justice Cady began working on this speech. I would like to convey his thoughts on our justice system to you this morning. In the preamble to the United States Constitutions, the framers set forth their aspiration that the new country form a more perfect union. The process to become a more perfect union is not easy, but when respect and understanding for our institutions of government can be maintained, our strength is revealed and provides momentum for greater justice and prosperity in the future. So I feel it is important that I begin a report on the condition of the judiciary with the condition of our respect and commitment to a process of government and the important roles we all have in it. We have the greatest respect for you and the state's other public officials. This respect is not only derived from your devoted service, but because you speak and act for the people of Iowa. The government was set up for you to be their voice. Courts are different. We too were set up to speak, but in a more limited way. We resolve legal disputes brought by Iowans by applying the law, including the values and principles found in the People's Constitution. The independence of the court from the political branches is not a divide, but our very strength as a state and as a nation. As the voice of the People's Constitution, the courts are integrated into the fabric of each community in Iowa. We are a community-based court system. In addition to our physical presence in 100 county courthouses, there are 1,700 Iowans who work for the courts and who are also active members of their communities. From Waverly to Van Meter, Marshalltown to Bettendorf, Muscatine to Spencer, there are judges and court employees who volunteer their time and skills for the benefits of their communities. These judges and court employees volunteer for the YWCA, participate in community theater, serve in the National Guard, and serve as EMTs and as firefighters. Some volunteer for the 4-H, the Girl Scouts, the Boy Scouts, historic preservation commissions, community action agencies, and religious organizations. Regardless of how they choose to serve their communities during their personal time, professionally, these Iowans work in our court system every day, every day to provide justice to their neighbors. I would like to take a moment for all of us to show our appreciation to the judges and court employees of the Iowa Judicial Branch for their tireless effort to provide justice both inside and outside of the courthouses. Shortly after the court selected Justice Cady as Chief Judge, we began taking court on the road. We traveled to communities around the state to hear oral arguments, meet with Iowans, and visit local schools. These travels have been a very rewarding experience for all of us. The conversations we had with Iowans across the state revealed their belief in the importance of justice, not just in words, but also in their daily interactions in their county courthouses. In courthouses across Iowa, we are adapting our courts to draw from the strengths of each community to establish a better process of justice. Every day, our juvenile court officers help youthful offenders in their communities to accept responsibility for their actions, address problems, and create opportunities for their future. Every day, clerks of court, court administrators, and court attendants help people in their communities navigate through the justice system. Every day, judges and magistrates in their communities make thousands of decisions in an effort to deliver justice that is fair for all. Every day, we all work to find better ways for our court system to provide better services for people in our communities. Community support and involvement is vital when seeking justice. because a crime harms both the victim and the community as a whole. This can be seen in Scott County, where there was a dramatic increase in car thefts by juveniles that brought the community together to seek solutions. Now, instead of detention, the juveniles and their families meet face to face with the victims, juvenile court officers, and other members of the community. It is an opportunity for the juveniles to learn how their actions harm their victims and all of Scott County. In the Auto Theft Accountability Program, a juvenile court officer will review the case of a first-time juvenile offender facing charges of first or second degree theft or operating a motor vehicle without an owner's consent. If the juvenile fits the program's criteria, the case will be forwarded to the Scott County Attorney's Office for admission to the program. During the program, during the face-to-face meeting, the participants discuss the harm that has been done and create a plan as to how the juvenile is going to repair that harm. The youth offender will have 3 months to complete a plan. A recent plan included the juvenile paying for damages, mowing the victim's lawn, and doing other yard work for 12 weeks. In Scott County, the community and the courts work together to provide justice to juvenile victims and the community as a whole. In Waterloo, community leaders recognize that providing timely justice to individuals with probation violations was becoming more difficult. Congested probation dockets caused significant delays in scheduling, which resulted in long stays in an overcrowded jail. Judges, probation officers, the county attorney, and the public defender's office came together to work to address the problem. They developed two innovative programs. The first is Fast Track, and the second is Swift, Certain, and Fair. Both programs are for defendants with technical or simple misdemeanor probation violations. In both programs, after a probation violation, the person is taken into immediate custody and has a hearing set for the next morning. At the hearing, the judge orders consistent, immediate sanctions. The outcomes we have seen so far are promising, with reductions in the jail population, a shorter wait time for a hearing, and a reduction of the number of people with repeat violations. Of the 186 people who are participated in the first year of Fast Track, only 13 have appeared more than once. More than 300 individuals have participated since 2017. These individuals were able to return to work and families and their jobs. In Waterloo, the community came together to find better ways for our court system to provide consistent and timely justice. In Storm Lake, the Buena Vista County Family Treatment Court has formed strong bonds with community partners to find better ways to serve children and the families in the child welfare system. The treatment court has support of community providers, city and county leaders, religious organizations, and many other community partners. Because of the strong community relationships developed, participants in the family treatment court were able to share in a food distribution program that handed out 30,000 pounds of frozen food to the members of the Storm Lake community. In Storm Lake, the community came together to provide justice to families threatened by parental substance abuse. And throughout our state, an increasing number of Iowans are using the business court for faster, less costly resolution of business disputes. That is why, with the addition of a business court judge from Humboldt and one from Des Moines, we now have 5 judges handling complex civil business cases in all 4 corners of our state. Today, I'm excited to announce that we are partnering with Drake Law School's Agricultural Law Center to spread the word to farmers about how the business court has the expertise to handle their disputes. Farmers and business owners need and deserve fast, effective, and predictable justice. During Chief Justice Cady's 36 years on the bench, Iowa has experienced dramatic changes in how the justice system serves our diverse communities. We continue to transform our justice system from a generalized court system into one that includes highly specialized courts designed to target and address the special needs of our Iowa communities. I hope you can see what the courts mean to your communities and how they are changing to meet the community's needs while continuing to administer justice fairly and impartially to all Iowans. Justice is more than a court system. It is what we give each other as neighbors and Iowans. But there is more change to come. After Governor Reynolds appoints a new member to the court, we will elect a new Chief Justice. About that time, I will be leaving the court, and the governor will appoint another new justice to the court. While there may be many changes, I am confident that the newly composed court will serve with the distinction in the tradition of Chief Justice McGivern, Justices Heck and Snell, and of course, Chief Justice Cady. Chief Justice Cady once told me that the Chief Justice was the hardest job he ever had. And I can tell you, after a few weeks of doing it, it sure was. He worked daily to cast a greater light on the accountability and the progress of Iowa's justice system. Now, we in the judicial branch must continue the work Chief Justice Cady started to promote public understanding of our court system. We must display our shared values in a strong democracy. We must reveal the values and strength of the institution of justice. Justice endures when we promote public trust and confidence in our court system. Justice endures when Iowans in every community see the value in the service our court provides. Justice endures when Iowans in every community see their fair and impartial courts as essential to our democracy. Thank you.
Will the committee to escort the Acting Chief Justice please come forward and escort Acting Chief Justice Wiggins and his family from the House chamber? Will the committee to escort the Lieutenant Governor please come forward and escort Lieutenant Governor Gregg from the House chamber? The chair recognizes the representative from Harrison, Representative Winchittle.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move the joint convention be dissolved.
You've heard the motion of the representative from Harrison, Representative Winchittle. All those in favor say yay.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion prevails and the joint convention is dissolved.
The House will be in order. Introduction of bills.
House File 208, a bill by Hunter, a bill for an act concerning the review of disposal of application for liquor control licenses and permits by other authorities.
First reading of the bill, it is now ready for commitment or amendment and referred to the Committee on State Government.
House File 2019 by Salmon, a bill for an act establishing a conditional exception to pre-use inspection requirements for new school buses.
First reading of the bill, it is now ready for commitment or amendment and referred to the Committee on Transportation.
House File 2020 by Olson, Jones, and Mitchell, a bill for an act relating to radio operator blackout special registration plates for motor vehicles.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment and referred to the Committee on Transportation.
House File 2021 by Salmon, a bill for an act rescinding an amendment to an administrative rule of the Department of Education requiring the installation of the three-point lap shoulder belt in all new school buses.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment and referred to the Committee on Transportation.
House File 2022 by Height, a bill for an act concerning fees charged for examining and copying public records relating to claims for veterans benefits.
First reading of the bill is now ready for commitment or amendment referred to the Committee on Veterans Affairs. The chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Mr. Speaker, if there's no further business to come before the House, I move the House adjourn until January 16th at 8:30 a.m.
Is there further business to come before the House? The chair recognizes the lady from Johnson, Representative Masher.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Am I in order for an introduction?
You are in order.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I'd like to introduce to you a former state representative from Iowa City, the Honorable Jean Lloyd Jones. Jean is 90 years old and has been doing the interviews for the Iowa Archives that will be of our women legislators, both in the House and the Senate. So I'd like the House to give her a warm welcome. Thank you.
Seeing no further business to come from before the House, you've all heard the motion from the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle. All those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed will say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it, and the House is adjourned.